this little kid martial arts, but much more than that, he's teaching him wholeness. It's a holistic philosophy. It's not just about technique and doing it right. And this kid's all into the technique, and he's got brilliant technique, but he's got no heart. He hasn't figured out to knock down that wall. And at one point, Bruce Lee slaps him on the head to get his student's attention, and he says, like, don't think, feel. And then he points up to the moon, and the kid's looking at his finger, and he whacks the kid again on the head. And he says, don't concentrate on the finger, or you will miss all that heavenly glory. It's actually a Buddhist teaching. And I think it applies to my life oftentimes, and even to certainly seasons of my life of the way I expressed or understood my faith. For me, for a long time as a Christian, when I became one, which was late in life, I wasn't spoon-fed, raised in it at all. I got on the Jesus bandwagon, so to speak, with Youth for Christ and Campus Crusade for Christ and that kind of thing when I was at UCLA. And I was in a place of despair, and I jumped in and both feet and went swimming with this thing. And in a very real way, it saved me. I'm not apologizing for that part of the story. It saved me. I was in despair. And I jumped into that thing and became a Christian. But then for a long time in my life, I think, you know, for me, in my tradition that I was initially initiated into, it was all about the Bible, you know, and I'm all about the Bible, but the way I understood it was all about the Bible and the proper way to understand it in its literal, flawless condition. And for a long time in my life, I kind of feel like I was that student, Bruce Lee student, you know, where the Bible became the finger. And I was staring at the finger, and I had to, you know, I got to understand the tenets and the shape and the direction and the look of the hand and the finger, but I was missing all that heavenly glory. I was missing what the teachings of the scripture were pointing me towards. And getting to stare at the finger, you can be good at that. And I was really good at finger staring. But I've had a, you know, the way my mind worked, it caused problems. I want to show a picture, if I may. Jared, can you show picture number one? There's a guy that I really identify with who's rather infamous in Christian circles. And you see him there. His name is Charles Templeton. And next across to him is Billy Graham. And they were close friends. Both became Christians, Youth for Christ type movement. And both became evangelists. Both were undereducated. And they were both at that moment, many would tell you who were contemporary at the time, that Templeton would blow Billy Graham away. I mean, as far as technique and presence and fire and brimstone and all that stuff. He jumped into the Jesus movement and very quickly became an evangelist and very quickly was filling stadiums of 30,000 people, you know, preaching the gospel. And he and Billy Graham then formally created with another gentleman the Youth for Christ organization that was reaching tens of thousands of young people. And then Billy Graham and he continued and he became a pastor, took a church, blew the church out. It was up in Toronto, up in Canada, became a huge church, and he was kind of a mega church superstar guy. But he had a crisis of faith. And the problem for him is he became educated. He began to actually study the Bible. He actually went to Princeton for a while, even though before that he had a ninth grade education. And as he began to study the Bible and things about his faith began to unravel and unroll. And this happens a lot of times. It's one of my concerns about what happens out there when people and the Bible. Matter of fact, there's a guy I know, Bart Ehrman, and Bart is a brilliant, he's a professor at North Carolina Chapel Hill of Religion, and he's a brilliant man, authors many books, and he is, I think he would describe himself as an atheist today. And yet, when he started, he, like that young man in high school, got saved for Jesus, went crazy on Jesus Bible studies, did the whole thing, went to the next level, graduated, wanted to be a pastor, went to this school then, which was a super conservative fundamentalist school called Moody Bible Institute. And he went there and he got his degree and it became really steeped, much the same way I did, like coming in late in life, like this is it, here are the tenets, learn the faith. He did that. And then he wanted to get more education, and he went and got his master's at Wheaton College. And Wheaton is not Moody. Wheaton's a little more liberal. And I don't mean that in the political sense. I just mean like they're open to more angles and nuances of Scripture. And he did that, and that shifted something in him. And then he wanted to get his PhD because he wanted to teach it, and he wanted to learn the original languages. And they were like, dude, if you want to, you know, if you want to study, you need to go to Princeton, and you got to study with Metzger. He's the best professor of the ancient texts anywhere in the world. And so he went and he studied under Metzger and got his PhD, and there it all fell away. Because really what he came to learn was, and this is why, and I went through that same thing, don't get more educated. Just stick with the Bible. Just do. Don't learn. Don't go to Yale or Princeton or Harvard or read any of those guys. And don't, because it's of the devil. They're the heretics. They're the antichrists. They're the wolves in sheep's clothing. And what he found out is that so much of what he learned as a kid and as a young student in Bible college just wasn't true. Just wasn't true. It wasn't good scholarship. There wasn't honest teaching there. And for him, his faith unraveled. And now he's pretty pissed off. He's kind of a pissed off, you know, agnostic and atheist. And he makes an ass out of a lot of people who are Christians and, you know, wanting to debate him on the Bible and stuff because they actually don't know what they're talking about. And he actually does. And he annihilates them, usually, the fundamentalists, at least I'm talking about. And yeah, he's a brilliant scholar. I've learned so much from him. But as I looked at him, he lost the magic too. The baby went out with the bathwater. He asked really good questions, and he was really angry, and then he was demonized. And that kind of happened to Templeton. Templeton had a crisis of faith. And it happened to him when he was looking at Life magazine. And in Life magazine, he saw a picture of a starving kid in Africa whose mother couldn't feed him. She was dried up and dehydrated. And she was like looking up at the heavens as if to say, like, God, you know, why aren't you sending rain? And it was in that moment that he had that crisis. And he just said, God can't be good. God can't be loving. He can't be all those things that we hang labels on theologically, omnipresent, omnipotent, sovereign, in control, all-powerful, immutable, unchanging, all these things. And he broke. And he lost faith. And as he did, I want to read something. He had a conversation with Billy Graham, who was at the time still a huge evangelist. And this is a little bit of what took place. And he says this. He says, our differences came to a head in a discussion, which better than anything I know explains Billy Graham and his phenomenal success as an evangelist. He said, in the course of our conversation, I said, but Billy, it's simply not possible any longer to believe, for instance, the biblical account of creation. The world was not created over a period of days only a few thousand years ago. It's evolved over millions of years. And it's not even a matter of speculation. It's a demonstrable fact. And Billy Graham said, I don't accept that. And there are reputable scholars who don't either. And he said, well, who are these scholars? Men in conservative Christian fundamentalist colleges. Most of them, yes. Billy answered, but that's not the point. I believe the Genesis account of creation because it's the Bible. I've discovered something in my ministry. When I take the Bible literally and I proclaim it as the Word of God, my preaching has power. When I stand on the platform and say, God says, or the Bible says, That's when the Holy Spirit uses me, and there are results. Wiser men than you or I have been arguing the questions like this for centuries. I don't have the time or the intellect to examine all sides of the theological dispute, so I've decided once and for all to stop questioning and accept the Bible as God's word. But Billy, I protested, you can't do that. You don't dare stop thinking about the most important questions in life. Do it and you begin to die. It's intellectual suicide. And Billy said, I don't know about anybody else, but I've decided that this is the path for me. I had to come to a crisis like that, and I did not go the Billy Graham route. I couldn't honestly do it. I couldn't check out my brain. I couldn't not think. I couldn't just mold my world to think the earth is 6,000 years old against the evidence. I couldn't just choose the few scholars like Ken Ham who stand out and still like, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it because if I'm flawed, and I am in many ways, one of my flaws is I'm pretty freaking honest. I can't do it. I just can't do that. I'm calling bullshit. Can't do it. And I haven't done it. And yet something interesting has happened to me. And I think about Templeton. Because when Templeton left the faith, he wrote a book. Actually, Jared, put up the next picture, if you can, son. Oh, this is just kind of funny. That's Billy Graham and Templeton and a couple of hotties. Which I think was just like, if you join Youth for Christ, you too can find a hottie. But go ahead. Next picture. And this is an interesting picture. There's Templeton in the heyday. And to the right, you see him holding a copy of his book as an aged man in his 80s. And the book was entitled Farewell to God. And he left the faith. And he is today torched. I mean, when I was looking up some stuff on Templeton, you cannot believe how they roast him, how he's roasting in hell and how all these people are and how he's the example of what happens when you think, you know, and because he abandoned the faith. And shortly before he died, he was already slipping deeply into Alzheimer's. A guy named Lee Strobel went to interview him. It's an old evangelical standard book called Case for Faith. But I like Lee. Lee was an atheist himself. He went the other way. He was an atheist who became a believer, and he's an attorney and a journalist, and that was actually how he started to go to church. He was actually going like to do an investigation undercover and attack Christianity and all these things, and in that midst, he found faith. But he wanted to interview Templeton, and he did right before he died, and here's just a small few quotes. He asked Templeton, how do you assess this Jesus? It seemed like the next logical question, but I wasn't ready for the response I would evoke. He said, Templeton's body language softened. First they had been debating. And now it was as if he suddenly relaxed, comfortable, talking about an old and dear friend. His voice, which at times had displayed sharp and insistent edge, now took on a melancholy and reflective tone. His guard seemed down. He spoke in an unhurried pace, almost nostalgically, carefully choosing his words as he talked about Jesus. He was, Templeton began, the greatest human being who has ever lived. He was a moral genius. His ethical sense was unique. He was intrinsically the wisest person that I've ever encountered in my life or in my readings. His commitment was total, and it led to his own death, and much to the detriment of the world. What could one say about him except that this was a form of greatness? Strobel says, I was taken aback. I said, you sound like you really care about him. He says, well, yes. He is the most important thing in my life. He stuttered, searching for the right word. I know it may sound strange, but I have to say, he says, I adore him. Everything good I know, everything decent I know, everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus. Yes, yes, and he was tough. Just look at Jesus. He castigated people. He was angry. People don't think of him that way, but they don't read the Bible. He had a righteous anger. He cared about the oppressed and the exploited. There's no question that he had the highest moral standard, the least duplicity, the greatest compassion of any human being in history. There have been many other wonderful people, but Jesus is Jesus. In my view, he declared, he is the most important human being who ever existed. And if I may put it this way, he said, his voice beginning to crack, I miss him. And with that, tears flooded his eyes, and he bobbed and wept. Now, while many people are dancing on Templeton's grave in Christendom because he died and they consign him to hell, there's a part of me that has looked, thought, reread that story, and I think, man, that guy may have been closer to Jesus at that moment than any other time in his life. And he was honest. And I think in Christendom, what he got trapped into, especially as a pastor, I don't know how I've survived my evolving here as 18 years. I don't know. People ask me, and I'm like, I really don't know how I haven't gotten fired. I have no idea. I just don't get it. I should have been fired like 90 times. But this community flexed, and we flexed, and we became a place where you can think, and where I can have my opinion, and you can have yours, and we can discuss these things, and we can work it out, and where the Bible, the freaking finger, is not what it's all about. It's about what it's pouring and pointing towards, all that heavenly glory, all the wisdom and the beauty. Templeton wasn't allowed to be who he was. He wasn't allowed to just rest with Jesus. And yet at the end, he did. And in this place, there's room for that. In this place, I'd like to say maybe, God, let's just focus on Jesus. Now, let's just see what happens there. Instead of getting people to believe the Bible and do all these things, maybe we just focused on the one that I believe the Bible is pointing to, the incarnation, Jesus. The one we're in a world that devastates. I can honestly say, is God good? I don't know, but Jesus is. And if he is the icon, if he is the character, if he is the very form and the fullness of God, then I got an answer for you. In my opinion, God is good. Even in the world where there isn't good. You know, I had that moment too, and I keep this picture with me. Jared, can you show that picture? It's a stark image of a starving boy trying to suck some nourishment out of the anus of cattle. You can take that off, buddy, now. And it's one of those pictures that I can't divorce my good life from. I just can't. I enjoy. I don't want to be starving. I don't want any of us to be in that situation. I'm thankful to be where I am, what I do, with those things. But it's impossible for me to separate from that, from knowing that that's in the world. And so while I may say, hey, God is good, you know, I got a parking spot, there's also a point that says, yeah, I get what Templeton comes from. I do. We need to ask those stark questions. But I do believe God is good, and not because he gives me parking spots or food or anything. I just believe he's good. That I believe he's good because I look at Jesus and I see Jesus not separated from the world, but entering into it at the very base level. Thank you, sweetheart. I appreciate that. I close with that thought. Because in my existential despair, I'm always faced with that problem. And I always have to keep in mind people that are struggling with that too, like Templeton. And my remedy is the same. I believe God is good. Not everything in the world is good, but that he's good. And I believe that because I believe I see God in Jesus. And I believe he's given me a purpose. If I wonder in my existential despair, what is my purpose in life? Well, Jesus would say, do some good in the world. oh, yeah, yeah, do some good. Do some good. As Pope Francis says, see the starving people, pray for them, and then go feed them. Go do something. And in my own way, this is the way I try to live my life. And in this place, we encourage you to first look to Jesus. Whatever you believe or don't believe, understand or don't understand, look to him. Look to him first, and in him you will see the fullness of God and all that heavenly glory. And may it comfort you in your despair. And when you're wondering if God is good, may you look at Jesus and say, absolutely, God is good. And may that calm your spirit and your soul. Close with a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for our friends this morning. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, God, that you're good. And I believe that Templeton knew that. He knew that through Jesus. And my heart breaks for him that it got beat out of him by the religion of Christianity. But I do believe he was beyond religion and in a relationship with Jesus as best as he understood how. Thank you that he asked tough questions. Thank you that he was willing to think. And may we as well. And God, for whatever it's worth, I believe that whatever is beyond, Charles Templeton is good. And may you comfort us with that when we begin to lose the magic. May we open our eyes, take our eyes off the finger, and look towards all the heavenly glory around us. In the redemptive, restorative name of the resurrected Christ, I pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and have a great day.